Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, all together. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Let's pray. God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. I do thank you for the Sermon on the Mount, but especially I want to thank you for this particular passage we'll be looking at tonight. I pray, Father, it'd be meaningful, and I pray, dear God, our prayer lives would be changed as a result of us being here tonight. Help us, dear God, to pray effectively. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, prayer is a topic that is found throughout the Bible. Jesus spoke often about prayer. He is an example to be followed in prayer. And here in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "When thou prayest." Now, in that statement, Jesus makes the assumption that his followers would pray. He did not say, "If you pray," as if to suggest that it is optional, but he said, "When you pray." For all of us believers are in need of prayer. Prayer is so important in the life of the believer that the Holy Ghost led the Apostle Paul to pen down these words in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior." We are commanded to pray by the Lord himself. And he said this in Luke 18:1, "Men ought always to pray." Now that would coincide with what is written in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, which tells us to pray without ceasing. We always ought to be in an attitude of prayer. Are we not invited to call upon the Lord? Is it not written in Jeremiah 33, 3? "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Did not the psalmist write in Psalm 65, verse 2, and address the Lord as, "O thou that hearest prayer"? He heard Abraham's prayer for an heir, Abraham's servant's prayer for a bride for Isaac, Isaac's prayer for his barren wife, Rebekah, Moses' prayer to spare the nation of Israel, Joshua's prayer for the moon and the sun to stand still, Samson's prayer for strength so he could avenge himself of his enemies. He heard David's prayer for guidance, Elijah's prayer for a dead boy, Hezekiah's prayer for health, Ezra's prayer for safety, Nehemiah's prayer to restore the walls of Jerusalem, Job's prayer for his friends, Isaiah's prayer for cleansing. He heard Daniel's prayer concerning Nebuchadnezzar's dream, Jonah's prayer out of the belly of hell, the prayer of Jairus for his daughter, the prayer of the centurion for his servant, the prayer of father for his lunatic son, the prayer of thief hanging on the cross next to him for salvation, the prayer of the church for Peter, and the prayer of Paul for the father of Publius. The first mention of prayer is found in Genesis chapter 4, verse 26, where it says, "Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." With the coming of Adam's grandson, Enos, men were fully aware of their weakness, fully aware of the needs they had, and they were now making the request known to God. Did our Lord ignore them? Did he tell them, "You know what? Stop"? Did he say to them that prayer was a waste of time? No. For he is a God that heareth prayer, and nothing is too hard for him to do. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." When it comes to this matter of praying, very few are considered to be a people of prayer. While many of us feel like failures when it comes to praying, the good news is we're not alone. And like the disciples of old, let's acknowledge that our prayer life needs improvement and let's go to Jesus and ask him, Lord, teach us to pray. None should make prayer a complicated matter. Jesus never did. When he instructed his followers with the following words found in Luke 11:2 through 4, he made prayer rather simple. And in that model prayer, he tells us, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, I know this is often referred to as the Lord's Prayer, not because Jesus prayed it, but because he taught it. It is simply a pattern to guide us in our own praying. It teaches us that true prayer depends upon us being sons of the Heavenly Father, honoring God's kingdom and doing his will. It is asking God to accomplish what he wants us to do so his name would be glorified. Once that is done, we can ask him to provide for our needs for today, forgive us of the sins that we have committed, and lead us in paths of righteousness. Since I'm his child and he is my father, my prayer ought to be childlike, but not childish. For we ought to ask what the Father wants us to have. Now, it's quite remarkable that these disciples saw Jesus cast out demons, raise the dead, multiply fish and loaves, still storms, cleanse lepers, give sight to the blind. Yet they did not ask Jesus for that kind of power. They heard our Lord preach. They heard him teach. And they give people many parables, which are the greatest stories ever told. But they did not ask him to make them great orators. They saw his burden for souls, his compassion for the lost, and how he brought others to faith in himself. Yet they did not ask him to be better fishers of men. They wanted to be better men of prayer. I believe they understood that to give prayer the secondary place is to make God secondary in life's affairs. So let's come to Jesus with the request, Lord, teach us to pray. I have read several books on prayer by such notables as E.M. Bounds, John R. Rice, and Dr. Lee Robertson. I also read biographies on men known for prayer, such as George Mueller, guy named Praying Hyde, and David Brainerd. And while these books and these men have been a help, no book on prayer is better than the Bible. And no one is better at praying than the Savior. And what he says about prayer and the example he sets in prayer, he is worth listening to, and his example is worth following. So number one, as we see Jesus, notice he prayed early. He prayed early. In Mark 1:35, it says, And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, that means before the sun rose, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Now, Jesus found it best to spend time with the Father before spending time with men. In the morning and rising up a great while before day are two important statements. And God is trying to teach us something, for nothing is put in the Bible by accident. God wants us to seek him first. And the psalmist wrote this in Psalm 63:1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. The heart that is slow to seek God in the morning has become cold. It has become indifferent. It has lost its hunger for God himself. In Mark chapter 1, verse 37, when the disciples found him praying, they said to Jesus, All men seek for thee. Now, how many think Jesus didn't know that? And he could have looked at them and said, Thank you for that information. I already know all men are seeking thee. But you know what? Before I go and be with men, I need to seek the Father first. It is in the early morning hours that we are to start our day communing with God in prayer before the hustle and bustle of the day begins. Early prayer time is time well spent. You may not feel like getting up early to pray, but since when are we to operate by feelings? And besides, if you went to bed earlier, you could get up before the break of day and get in contact with God. If you don't start your day in prayer, there are too many other things that will take up your time and attention. And then your time communicating with the Father gets choked out. Jesus teaches us to pray early. Number two, Jesus teaches us to pray habitually. Habitually. In Mark 1, 36 and 37, it says this about our Lord. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. Now, the fact that the disciples knew where to find our Lord gives proof to his habit of praying. This wasn't something he did just in an emergency situation. It was a daily activity for the Son of God. We are to have a consistent, scheduled, on-purpose prayer life. It ought to be important enough to daily start our day in prayer. Not just once a week, not twice a week, not hit or miss. Every day we ought to start our day in prayer. We do have time to eat. We have time to relax, time to work, time to sleep. But why is it we set no time aside for prayer? Have you ever noticed that those in the world who are driven, they pursue their desires early. They pursue them late and in the times in between. Why is it we as God's people don't pursue God in prayer early, late, and barely in between? Even those who attend good, solid, biblically sound churches on a regular basis are so out of touch in this matter of prayer that the habit of prayer is not to pray much at all. Prayer should be looked upon as something to do on it, should not be looked upon as something to do as an unneeded basis, but as an early daily necessity. We need to be in the habit of prayer. Number three, Jesus teaches us to pray solitarily. You say, what's that? That means alone. Mark 1:35, we read, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. When it comes to our daily early prayer time, it's best we be where the people aren't. We need some one-on-one time with the Heavenly Father. In our text verse, it tells us, but when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, when thou shut the door. Sounds to me like you're supposed to leave all outside distractions behind. Pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I don't believe that Jesus is against public prayer. I don't believe he's against praying with others. But if we're not in the habit of praying in private, are we not only praying so to be seen of men? Is not that a bit of hypocrisy on our part? And does not the previous verse state that very thing? For it does read, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. I don't believe it's wrong to ask others to pray for us, nor do I believe it's wrong to make our requests known to other people so that they can beseech the throne on our behalf. But it certainly brings one joy when in their prayer closet They only make the request known to God, and He rewards them with the answer. If others are praying about our needs, how do we know He answered us specifically? Or maybe He answered somebody in the group that we told about our prayer request. Or maybe it was just somebody who was interceding on our behalf. We don't know He answered what we prayed for. While it's great to get an answer, it's even better when secret prayer is the only one, we are the only one along with God knows what we prayed about, and He grants us our request. Jesus teaches us to pray early, habitually, solitarily. And number four, Jesus teaches us to pray believingly, to pray believingly. In Mark 11, 23 and 24, Jesus teaches His own, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them." Now, when Jesus prayed, did He pray amiss? Did He doubt He would get an answer? Or did He ever think that God couldn't do what He asked for? Because it was beyond His ability to meet His request. Or did He say this at Lazarus' grave, that man who had been dead for 4 days, that man who already had corruption set in his body, and one He was about to raise from the dead, "Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me, and I knew that Thou hearest me always." So often we limit the Lord by unbelief, and that hinders us having our prayers being answered. Hebrews 11:6 says, "He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Then we read this in James chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. We read some things about faith and doubt, and it tells us this: "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in," what? "Faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." God said, "You can ask me for things, but do not ask me if you not believe you're going to get it. Don't waste your time with petitions you do not expect me to answer." You see, when we pray, let's pray that God can and that God will answer what we're asking for, because what we're asking for is in the will of God. Yes, Jesus teaches us to pray early, habitually, solitarily, believingly, and number five, Jesus teaches us to pray persistently, to pray persistently. Right after Jesus gave the disciples a model prayer in response to their asking Him to teach them to pray, He further instructs them with the illustration of the importunate friend. In Luke chapter 11, verse 5 through 10, it tells us this: "And He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight?" Now, if you're a real friend, you wouldn't go to anybody at midnight. But "And say unto him, friend, lend me," what? "Three loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is coming to me, and I have nothing to set before him." Now, he did have a great need, and so he goes to a friend who can meet that need. "And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. You see, he didn't get what he requested because he was a friend. He got what he requested because of his importunity, meaning he kept on asking, kept on badgering, kept on knocking at that door until finally the friend opened up the door and says, you know what? You can have your 3 loaves of bread. You need 5 loaves of bread. I'll give it to you. You need butter for that bread. I'll give it to you. You need some, well, I was almost going to say ham, but this is a Jewish story. Roast beef, whatever you need for that bread, I'm willing to give it to you. Just leave me alone. Right? He got what he came for because of what? He just kept on asking. Years ago, I was with somebody, and they told me, they said, you know what? I only ask God one time for something. If he doesn't give it to me, that's okay. I said, well, the Bible doesn't teach that when it's concerning prayer. He said, yeah, it does. He says, I think if you pray more than once, then you lack faith. And I said, really? I think faith is something you ought to practice, and faith comes from the Word of God. I said, did Jesus lack faith when he prayed 3 times in the garden? Not my will, but thine did. But thine be done. And I said, did Paul lack faith when 3 times he asked God for that thorn to be removed? You know what? You need to ask God more than one time sometimes. I said, you need to keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking until the answer comes. You know, this same thought goes along with what is written in Luke 18:1, where we find the phrase, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. If we're praying in the will of God for something we have need of, we need to just simply keep on asking. Be importunate in our prayer. Not faint in doing so until the answer comes. God's delays in giving us the answer to our requests are not his denials, and our persistence in asking is not an attempt to change God's mind. But it's to get us to the place where he can trust us with the answer that we are requesting. Listen, persistent prayer is important. You see, there was a story about a widow and an unjust judge. Remember reading about that? Jesus told that story? You know, I don't know about you, but that unjust judge gave her what she wanted simply because she bothered him to the point where he says, man, I'm just going to give her what she asked for so she'd leave me alone. Now, I don't think we got to do that with the Lord, but I do think we need to keep on praying. He's not going to be bothered by us, but he's preparing us for the answer that's coming our way. Jesus teaches us to pray early, habitually, solitarily, believingly, persistently, and then 6, Jesus teaches us to pray fervently. Fervently. Fervent prayer is effectual prayer. And James 5:16 tells us the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now there is no one more righteous than Jesus. And no one prayed more fervently than Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane when he sweat great drops of blood. Someone has said, prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed, the motion of a hidden fire that trembles in our breast. Unless the heart of desire moves the lips of petition, we pray without purpose. Those old, cold, dead prayers that mean nothing to us. Well, guess what? They mean nothing to God either. Real prayer is spurned in the heart and comes from the depths of the soul. If there is no real fervency, there's no real effectual prayer. Now, the word fervent means to be stretched out. It speaks of a runner in the finishing kick of their race, on the last lap and straining to give it all that they have. It also speaks of something being boiling hot. This means if there's no desire, no passion, no heat, no fervor, real effectual prayer is not taking place. nor is it availing much at all. In Mark 11:24, Jesus says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye what? Desire. When you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. One of the reasons our prayers go unanswered is the lack of godly desire when we pray. Most of us have no intensity, no fervency when we beseech the throne of grace. I'm not saying we don't go through the motions of prayer, or we may even use the pattern of prayer Jesus gave us, but there's no passion. There's no real desire. And fervency just isn't taking place. So often we simply mouth prayer, and we don't even know what we asked for 5 minutes later. You say, why is that? Because it's not something that burns within our souls. Where are the Jacobs who got a hold of God and say, I will not let thee go except thou bless me? He prayed with great desire and fervency. And by the way, it took longer than 5 minutes to do so. Most of us prayed this morning. But one has to wonder, did God hear us with the intent to answer? He should, if those prayers are fervent and done in his will. For 1 John 5:15 tells us, and we know that he heareth whatsoever we ask. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Jesus taught on prayer. He was an example on prayer and one worth following. So let me ask you, do you pray early? Or do you wait till the end of the night, when you lay your head down and before you know it, you're conked out while you're praying? And don't tell me you're praying for the peace of Jerusalem either. Do you pray habitually? Is it a pattern for you? Do you schedule prayer every day? Do you do it solitarily? Or do you only pray when other believers are around? Do you pray believingly, persistently and fervently? We would have our prayer life enhanced immensely if we would learn these lessons that Jesus taught us. Folks, let's make prayer the priority that it should be. And let's watch God answer our request as we learn these lessons that Jesus taught us on prayer. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed. First of all, what? Prayer. It ought to be a priority